Word from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bibles and stand with me this morning and open to the book of Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 this morning. Nehemiah chapter 9. Just a very short message as we think about Thanksgiving season and we prepare to enjoy our time with family and friends on Thursday. I want to talk to us this morning about the keys to being thankful. The keys to being thankful. Look with me in Nehemiah chapter 9. I want to read verse 6 through verse 8. Verse 6 through verse 8. Thou, even thou, art God or Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all of their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the sea, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. Verse 7, thou art the Lord, the God, who did choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee and made a covenant with him to give the land of Canaan, of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Girshites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Let's pray. Father God, as we come into your presence this morning, thank you for just a wonderful day. Just a great day to be alive and a great day to be in your presence, Father. I pray now in the name of Jesus that you would bless both the message and the messenger. Father God, that you would speak to us in such a way that all of us would be able to understand it and to live it out in our daily lives. I pray that the message this morning, the word that you have poured into my heart, Holy Spirit, would be brought forth out of my heart by the same Holy Spirit. I pray not for a good message, but I pray for an effective message, one that will touch us in those very places that we need to be touched. God, have your way in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk about the keys very quickly this morning. I want to talk about the keys to being thankful. I want to remind us that praise and thanksgiving is important to God. It's important that we express gratitude and thanksgiving to the God who have done so much for us. It's important, listen, it's important to God that your heart be full of gratitude, full of thanksgiving, full of appreciation for the marvelous things that he's done. It's important to him because, first of all, when we're thankful, it brings glory to him. Glorifies him, it magnifies him. When we're thankful, when we live with a thankful heart, when we live with a thankful attitude and a thankful spirit, it glorifies the God who created us, the God who loves us. But it's also important to God that you and I, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, live with an attitude of thanksgiving, because God knows that as we are glorifying him and praising him and thanking him, it has an impact on folks around us. I tell you all the time that nobody wants to come to a grumbling, complaining church. Amen. Amen. Nobody wants to be connected to people who are ungrateful and never have anything to praise God for. And so our thanksgiving is important to God. It's important to God because it brings glory to him and it impacts people around us. In Psalm 92 and verse 1, the writer says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." The writer in Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it is a good thing. It's a proper thing. It's a right thing. It's a wise thing. It's a healthy thing for you and I to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. It's good. Listen, it's not only glorifying to God and not only is it impactful to people around us, but it's good for us when we give thanks to the Lord. I want to tell you this morning that, listen, a thankful heart, a grateful heart, when we're willing to open our mouths and express our gratitude to God, when we live our lives with a thankful attitude, listen, it's good for us. The reason why some of us are so bitter is because we've forgotten how to be thankful. The reason why some of us are so depressed is because we've forgotten how to be thankful. The reason why so many of us are failing is because we've forgotten how to be thankful to God. Amen. The writer in Psalm 92 verse 1 said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Life is funny. Church, life is funny. Life will turn on you. Life will fall apart on you. But God is so good that he will never let all areas of your life fall apart at the same time. And I know what somebody's sitting here thinking this morning. You picked out one little thing that's gone wrong in your life and you let that declare to you that you got no reason to thank and praise God. But listen, it may be falling apart on this side, but look on the other side because you got plenty of good reason to thank him this morning.
Amen.
We're strange people. Amen.
Amen.
I've stopped trying to satisfy us. Amen. And I'm amazed at how we can pick out one little area in our lives that's not going right. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's the doctor's report. Maybe it's a family problem. And listen, and you let that one little area keep you from praising God for anything that he's doing. I want to tell you this morning, listen to me, I want to tell you this morning that one of the ways that we develop a thankful heart is that we stop counting our problems and start counting our blessings. Because I promise you, your blessings far outweigh the problems that you're dealing with right now. The writer in Psalms 92 verse 1 says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. But then in Psalms 118 verse 1, we are instructed, in fact, we are commanded to give thanks unto the Lord. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good because his mercy endures forever. Can I tell you that that's not a request? That's not a suggestion. That is a command that we have from God. We are commanded to give thanks unto him. We are commanded, listen, we are commanded to praise and glorify him and thank him for what he does in our lives. Amen. So we're going to close this morning. This ninth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. First of all, it is a national prayer. It is a national prayer. It is a prayer that is prayed for the nation. And it's a prayer that every Jew was expected to participate in at this moment. It's a national prayer. But not only is this a national prayer, this prayer is a prayer of remembrance. Because when you read this ninth chapter, you will discover that the men who are praying this prayer, and it's eight Levites who lead in this prayer, but as they pray this prayer, they review the history of Israel. And they review how God had dealt with them in generations gone by. It's a prayer. Listen, it's a prayer of remembrance. It's a prayer whereby they look back as they're praying, as they're leading in this prayer. They look back over their lives, over their past, and they see how the mighty hand of God had brought them through one dilemma after another one. Somebody once said, for those of us who forget the past, usually we fall to the consequences of it again. For those of us who forget the past, we're guilty of committing the same crimes in the future that we committed in the past. I want to tell you this morning that could it be that the reason why some of us are no more thankful than what we are is because we have forgotten all of the good things that God did for us.
Amen.
Back yonder.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There are some things you ought not forget.
Come on. Amen.
I'm telling you this morning, I'm just about finished. But there are some things you ought not forget. There are some things as individuals that we ought not to forget. And there are some things as a church family that we ought not forget.
Amen.
You ought not forget. Don't I forget how God brought you through those crises.
That's right. Amen.
When your life was falling apart, when the devil was trying to convince you that you would never make it through this thing and it felt like you weren't going to make it. You ought not forget that the mighty hand of God reached down and he pulled you through.
Yes.
You ought not to forget that every promotion that you enjoy, every raise that you got on the job, every time that they got a pink slip but you didn't get one, you ought not to forget that it was God who delivered you.
That's right. Amen.
It wasn't because you were so smart.
Come on.
It wasn't because they liked you so much.
Amen.
It was the favor of God upon your life.
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you this morning that I can look back over my life. And I can tell you that there were some times that I would not have made it had it not been the Lord who was on my side.
Amen. Amen.
I won't ever forget.
Yes,
I worked for a mean old man. We called him Boss Hog. And I think Boss Hog figured out that I was a Christian. And the devil knew I was a young Christian. And they got together and they thought they would try me. I won't forget that for two or three days, in fact, probably two or three weeks, I was running either late for work or I was just hitting the clock when the clock clicked. Boss Hawk had this big old bay window that he sat in like he was Pharaoh. And he watched everybody. He watched all the goings and comings. And this particular morning when I woke up, I was 5 minutes away from being late, and I was 20 minutes from the job. I will never forget, Sister Maddie, it was a beautiful, bright, sunshiny day. The sun was shining brighter than I ever seen it shine in all my life. I'm going down the road, and I'm thinking, Lord, this is the day I'm going to get fired. This is the day. This is it. This is the day I lose my job. And I remember getting to the parking lot, and I got out the car, and when I slammed the door closed, I heard a still small voice, not with these ears, but down in here.
Yes,
all he said was, watch what I do today. It was so clear, solid rock, I thought I was talking to myself. I go in, I clock in, and he's standing in the office. And when I turn around from the time clock, he does like this. I walk in the office, And immediately I began to apologize for being late and making promises that I probably couldn't keep, that I wouldn't do it again. And his exact words to me was, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to give you a dollar raise and I'm going to make you my supervisor today. Now he was standing there like he was lost, but I was in the light. I knew what was going on. Don't ever forget. Don't forget. But then, this is a national prayer. It's a prayer that reviews the history. But listen, as I studied this thing, I began to ask God, why? Why this prayer? Why so much of the history of Israel in the first part of this prayer? And the Holy Spirit said, look, there are a lot of reasons, but here's the one I want you to preach on Sunday morning. He said, they prayed this way because it was their desire to stir up a spirit of gratitude in the hearts of the people. I listened to half of Brother Robert's sermon from last Sunday. Let me tell you, he did at least in the first half, he did a good job. And I listened at the passion that the man of God preached with. I listened that he preached with more than just his mouth, but he preached with his soul. And I thought about, why is this man preaching like this? It's because he wants to stir up the people of God for the heart of God. Amen. And as these men prayed, and I challenge you to read it. It's a long prayer. If y'all don't mind, I go through it all, but I think you mind, so I just point you out two or three things. As you read this prayer, listen. Brother Harris, it's a prayer that stirs up a heart of gratitude for all that God has done over the years in your life. I know most of y'all are like me. You've been through some things. Disappointments. Death. Divorce. Debt. And every one of them, the devil will tell you that you're not going to make it. He would even send folks to tell you that you're not going to make it. But I come this morning to declare to you that if God be for you, if God be on your side, if God stands with you, if Jehovah God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is on your side this morning, there is no way you can lose. Three little things I want to tell you about the keys to being thankful. Just three of them. I'm not going to come in on them long. I really feel like preaching this morning. I didn't get to preach last Sunday. But three little things I want you to see that's key to being thankful. And look, you know, I always try to preach with points. I try to give you something that you can write down, something that you can understand. Preaching and teaching means nothing unless it's understandable and unless it's relevant to life. And so I try to preach in a simple way, and sometimes the devil tried to distract me from that, but I'm just an old country boy preaching to country folks. And we'll just keep it country, okay? Listen, here's the first key, real quick. Here's the first key to being thankful, to having a thankful heart. It's found in verse number 6. Here it is. You have to have a good understanding about who God is. If you're going to really be thankful, listen, if you're going to really have a heart of gratitude, you need a growing understanding of who God is. You see, the reason why we are limited in our praise and thanksgiving is because we're limited in our understanding of the awesomeness of our God. Verse 6, he says, thou, even thou. Now watch this, because this is good. He said, you are Lord and you're Lord alone. I like that. You are Lord and you're Lord alone. That means, listen, that you are self-existent and you are independent of anybody else. You don't need nobody else. You don't call a council committee meeting when trouble break out. You don't seek the advice of anybody else. You are Lord alone. You know what that means? That means that only Jehovah is worthy of your worship. He said, you're Lord. Not only are you Lord, your sovereign ruler, he said, but you are creator of all things. Look at verse 6 again. He said, thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven. The heavens are heaven with all of their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the sea. Or the seas and all that is therein. And then watch this. Not only did he make them, but then he says, you preserved them. That is, you sustain them. You are the one that keep everything alive. Let me tell you something. Listen, you didn't make it here this morning because you were careful. You didn't get here this morning because you drove safely. But you made it here this morning because God kept his loving arms around you and he wouldn't let the devil or death take you this morning. Amen. He sustains us. He helps us. He keeps us. He preserves us. And not only does he do it for us, but he do it for everything that's been created. I want you to think about this. Because it's an overwhelming thought if you just think about it. Not only does God have to take care of you, but God got to take care of the person beside you. And God got to take care of the person beside that person. And not only is God taking care of all of humanity, but God got to take care of the fish in the sea. God had to take care of the insect world. God had to take care of the plant world. God had to take care of the animal world. And while he's doing all that on Mother Earth, he holds every star in place, and if they get out of place, he calls them by their name so that he can put them back in place. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
You need to know who he is. You need to know who he is. Not only do you need to know him in a general way, but you need to know him in a personal way. Amen. Listen, I can wake up every morning and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is the keeper of my life. That's the way he wants you to know him.
That's right.
Amen. He wants you to know him personally. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to be your personal companion. He wants to be your personal savior. One of the keys to being thankful is that we need to grow in our understanding of who God is. Some of y'all get tired of me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. That's why Bible study. Sunday school is so important. That's why you need to set aside some time on a daily basis to have a personal, private devotion time with God. Where you and God just sit down over a cup of coffee with your Bible open and you talk to him and then you give him time to talk to you. Here's the second thing that you got to have if you want. I think it's a key to being thankful. Not only do you need to have a growing and a good understanding of who God is, but you need to reflect often on what he's done for you in the past. I want you to look with me in verse 9 through verse 15, and I want to read them. I'm not going to comment on them, but I'm going to read them. Because he moves from who God is to what God does. He said, and you did see the afflictions of our fathers in Egypt. Verse 9. And you heard their cry by the Red Sea. And you showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land. For you knowest that they dealt proudly against them. So did you also get a name as it is this day. Verse 11. And you divided the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors that thou threwest in the depths as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, Lord, thou leddest them in the day by a pillar of clouds, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down upon Mount Sinai, and you talked with them from heaven, and you gave them right judgments and true laws and good statutes and commandments. And you madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses, thy servant. In verse 15, look. And you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. And you brought them, you brought us forth water for them out of the rock when they were thirsty. And you promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. What he does here is, listen. He recounts to them. He reminds them of what God had done for their forefathers in time past. And in doing it for them, he was doing it for the next generation. I thought about something as I studied this. I thought about how we can't ever forget not only what God has done for us, but we ought not to forget what God did for our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents, because when God was blessing them, he also had us in mind. And some of you, listen, some of you guys here this morning, you're as successful as you are because God showed favor and grace, not to you necessarily, but to somebody that you were connected to. I'm telling you this morning that, listen, part of my spiritual person that I am is because I had a mama who knew how to pray. I had a mother that believed the promises of God. She could not read the Bible. She wasn't good at reading, but listen, she had heard old pastor preach enough. Well, she got a little bit, and what little bit she got from him, she shared it with us. Real genuine gratitude and thanksgiving have to start with a good understanding of who God is. Real, genuine gratitude and thanksgiving need to reflect on what God has done for us in the past. But then here's my third little point, and I'll be through this little sermon this morning. But real and genuine gratitude must always remember that all of it was by his grace. Everything that he did for you back yonder, and everything that he's doing for you right now, and every good thing that he got planned for you in the future is based upon his grace. I want you to look with me in verse 16 through verse 21. I'm just going to read them, and we'll be through. You want to be thankful. You want to go into Thursday with a right kind of thanksgiving that pleases God. You got to remember that every blessing that you receive is out of the abundance of his grace. Listen, it shows up right here in verse 16. In verse 15, he talked about how he gave them water out of the rock and how he fed them with bread from heaven. But then in verse 16, I want you to see how they responded. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to your commandments and refused to obey, neither were they mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain. Watch what they did. They still drinking on God's water. They still got manna stuck in their teeth. And while God is blessing them, they make a decision that we're going to make us some captains and go back to Egypt. I wonder how many of us sitting here this morning is just one step away from going back to Egypt. In fact, there may be some here that if you could get enough folks to go with you, you leave this morning. Listen, in their rebellion, appointed a captain to return to Egypt. But watch how God responded. Look how God responded. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And I love this. And forsook them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, a golden calf, and they said to this stupid thing, they said, you are the God who brought us out of Egypt. Verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. And you did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. Hey, listen. They did to God what many of us do. They committed spiritual adultery against God. They went out there and they made them a golden calf, a god, a false god, an idol, and they bowed down to this thing, and they gave the glory to this thing that rightfully belonged to God. And if I had been God, I'd have left them right there. But the God of the universe, the true God, he said, I'm not going to leave you. I know you're stupid. I know you're stiff-necked. I know how you are. I'm not going to turn my back on you. We ought to celebrate that this morning, because what they did back then, we are guilty of doing it sometime right now. Listen, here's the last thing I want you to see. Verse 21, look. Look at verse 21. Yea, 40 years. I'm so glad he's long-suffering.
Yes, sir. Amen.
40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness. Look at this. Verse 21. I'm sorry, I told y'all verse 20. Verse 21. 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness so that they liked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet didn't swell.
Amen. Amen.
You want to be thankful for this Thanksgiving? Amen. Remind yourself that every good thing in my life is there because of the grace of God. You didn't do nothing to deserve it. You didn't do nothing to earn it. It was by his grace. It was by his grace. America has become fat and foolish. Because we treat God like he owes us something. We're the richest and the most blessed nation on the face of the earth.
Come on.
And somehow or another, we have forgotten the God who the riches belong to.
Yes.
We become fat and we become foolish. Let me tell you why we're foolish. Because we're looking to a man to do what only God can do.
Right.
This ain't politics, this preaching. But if you think that Mr. Trump is going to fix the problems in America, honey, you better think again.
Yes, sir.
These are God-sized problems that we got.
Yes, sir.
Listen, these are Holy Ghost-sized problems we got. And in order to fix that kind of problem, you got to have the power of God to fall fresh on a place.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
And you know what's sad? That same fat, foolish spirit that has overtaken the world has crept into the church. You living in God's goodness. You chewing on God's grace. You driving God's mercy. You won't say it with your mouth, but you say it in your heart. Things ought to be better for me. I deserve better than this. I want to know how to be truly thankful. I really do. I want to know how to be truly thankful. God didn't have to do for us what he did. And the greatest of all blessings is that he sent his son Jesus to save sinners like us. Out of all else that you might get from God, and listen, if you slept through everything else, wake up right here, because this is the good part.
Come on.
Out of everything else you might get from God, if you don't get saved, you miss the best that God had to offer.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Nothing else that God gives has eternal power with it. The money that you got, now it belongs to God. But it's temporary. That big fine house that we live in, we ought to take care and thank God for it, but it's temporary. Either you're going to die and leave it, or the bank going to take it from you. Or the termites are going to eat it. But it's temporary. Only the gift of Jesus Christ have eternal benefits.
That's right.
And it would be a shame to live 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 70 years and enjoy all the temporary and never lay hold on the eternal.
Yes, Lord.
You say, well, Brother Anthony, I'm thankful that God sent Jesus. Well, why don't you prove it? Why don't you come down this morning and give him your life? You stand with me this morning.